Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the third quarter of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, and coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. Greg Pickle here with me, Todd Sadowski from Fox 43 as well. This is Ask Greg, your Penn State football questions, and really, this is a two-for-one deal where you're asking Greg a question, you're going to get Todd's input as well. You can call that an asset, you can call it a liability. That's up to you. You're getting a second response, though, and We'll see if you like it or not. As we have mentioned the past couple weeks, we have been giving to the best question each week a Keystone Sports Network polo shirt. It's a pretty sweet shirt that we will send to whoever Greg determines to ask the best question. To do so, you just download the Keystone Sports app. You click Ask Greg. You fire up your questions. Very, very nice and easy. A 30-second process gets you in the running to hear your question on the air and to get a KSN polo shirt. That, talk about two for one. That's a two for one. Let's hear from our old buddy Mike from Harrisburg. He's apologizing in advance for asking a kicker question. He says, I think Penn State will really miss punter Blake Gillikin. He's been a master this year at stuffing inside the 20 and booming a long one when needed. Gillikin runs out of eligibility after this season, which made me check the depth chart. Surprised to see Jordan Stout as number two on the punter depth chart, Bradley King at number three. Do you expect Stout to take over punting duties and kickoff next year, or is that too much work for one kicker?
Well, I think we've heard James Franklin pretty consistently say that he would prefer in his perfect world that one guy does one thing when it comes to that. So one guy does kickoffs, one guy does field goals, and one guy does the punting. So I think what they'll have to do here is decide, and it may also come down too to whether or not Jake Pindergrift becomes more of a threat in the long distance game, because I don't think Penn State's going to want Jordan Stout doing kickoffs, doing long field goals over 40 yards, and also doing the punting. But we'll see. Obviously, they've had a there was a very successful guy named Anthony Farrah that did all that stuff, and he was pretty darn good. So Bradley King's a little bit interesting too. Lackawanna kid that they brought in, feel pretty good about. So will there be a drop off when Gillikin leaves? Probably. Is it something that you should be overly worried about, though? I would say no.
Of course he can do all of them. It's kicking. Come on. Right?
It's easy.
It's not that big of a deal. First, let me just say, I love that Jordan Stout has all these touchbacks. Why we can't find someone every single year to be able to do it? If you're going to have one thing to do, handle long field goals and touchbacks, just kickoffs, I mean, boom it out of the end zone. How many issues did we have with kickoff returns in the past few years that really hurt the Nittany Lions in big games? So it's great to see that. It's great to see somebody have that long distance ability with field goals as well, as he connected from 57 yards. I would think this kid's got more than enough leg to handle the punting duties as far as distance goes. I'm not so sure we're going to find anybody that can kick it inside the 20 with pooch kicks as good as Blake Gillikin does it, because he does a phenomenal job at that. So I would imagine there's absolutely going to be a drop off when it comes to pinning people down inside the 20.
And I would say, you know, the depth chart and how it looks, the number two, number three. Boy, when coaches now are going to be faced with actually finding somebody to consistently punt, I think you can throw the depth chart the way it looks now out the window. You know, there's going to be a legitimate competition. I think there's just something different to be said about identifying your number two punter right now versus finding an actual starting punter is going to be a little different journey. But Blake Gillikin is going to be a tough man to replace. And, you know, the consistency with which you punt, like, Blake, you know, Jordan Stout can boom it, but is he going to be able to consistently, no matter what the game situation, no matter what the weather situation, no matter what area of the field you're on, be able to consistently hit the right ball? You know, Blake Gillikin has had a struggle a time or two with that. Consistency is the big thing in any position, but especially punting.
Isn't that interesting, though? Maybe they would have a pooch specialist.
Yeah.
You never know. Maybe one of the kids would be better at pinning teams down inside the 20. It's not inconceivable, but who knows?
But yeah, it's a fair question, and I don't think Mike needed to apologize for asking
it
in advance.
No, it's a good question.
Caleb from Olean, New York, says, any chance of Antonio Shelton playing against the Gophers after spitting at a Michigan State player? I think just to jump in with that. There's no formal suspension. There's no formal – he was ejected, but it's not targeting. He is eligible to play. This would come down to a team-oriented thing.
Yeah. Have you actually seen the video of – because I've fans have said spitting is what happened. I still haven't found the clip of it.
But, yes.
Yeah,
they showed it on the broadcast. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well
– in the pouring rain, I can see
you could see the difference between –
you wouldn't have seen the luge flying through the air. Yeah. It was not an accurate – it was a pooch spit is what it was. It did not travel
great. It lacked
distance.
Height.
It lacked height, yeah. It would not have been a fair call spit. We went too far.
I got nothing for that.
Did you get what you bargained for when you asked that question, Greg?
I should have just let it go.
This is what you get. You're not supposed to ask questions. You're the answer guy.
I would say this. It would not shock me for if Penn State decided to start somebody else and maybe sit him the first quarter. It would also not shock me if Penn State played him and say, look, we were able to take care of this in-house during the bye week, and we're moving forward. And obviously, I think he feels pretty awful about the whole thing. So there's definitely recognition on his part. So, I have a hard time answering that question because James Franklin in the past has sacked guys for halves. He sacked guys for quarters. Sometimes he tells you he's doing it. Sometimes he doesn't. So, it can be hard to decipher. But my gut feeling says he'll play all four quarters against Minnesota.
Well, all I know is that film session that when he showed it to the team had to be pretty uncomfortable for Antonio Shelton, and he issued an apology right away on Twitter. But I'm sure he issued quite an apology to his teammates as well, and it'll be interesting to see how much he does sit, how much he does play after that, because that was something that needed to be addressed right away, and the message has to be, whatever the message is, it has to be crystal clear that is just not tolerated.
You're putting your team in a bad spot. You're putting yourself, you're putting the program in a bad spot in a situation where, I mean, nobody in that game situation. I think it was Tariq Castro-Fields who said after the game, you know, it's an emotional game, but the trick is playing with control. And that was a situation where Antonio Shelton lost control. He's an emotional guy. So maybe it's a learning lesson in itself. I do think the fact that the Penn State has a whole additional week will help them take care of this in-house and not need any kind of formal game discipline. But we'll see. Let's see. Leslie from New Market, Maryland. Everyone talks about Clifford's happy feet. I don't know that that's been a talking point for a couple weeks anyway. But I think for a first year starter, he's doing well. My question is, do you feel the quality of Penn State's defensive line that he practiced against all summer could actually have set him back a little in terms of being too quick with decisions? It's fair. It's fair to wonder. I mean,
it definitely is. I don't think so, though. Keep in mind the Penn State does good on good where it goes one versus one, but a lot of the times it's a two defense versus one offense and vice versa. So, you know, I don't necessarily think that Penn State's very good defensive line. If anything, you would think it would work the opposite way, that he sees Penn State's defensive line so much that it would calm him down against some of these other units that are not even close to as good as Penn State's. So I just think sometimes, you know, he's very critical of himself, and maybe overly critical at times of his faults and his flaws. But Todd, I do think that, I do think that there's times when he gets a little too, he overthinks it a little bit. And instead of just trusting his reads, trusting his progressions, I think he decides some snaps that this is what this play is going to do. And when it doesn't work, I think that's when he gets a little panicky because he's forgot about the things that got him to that point. And instead he locks in on one predetermined outcome. And when that outcome isn't possible, I think that's the times he's gotten a little bit panicky in the pocket. But we haven't seen it much lately.
No, and to address the question directly, I don't think that has set him back because the practice is so different. You don't have to worry about getting hit. First and foremost, I mean, so the defense is coming at you. They're coming at you hard, but they're not letting those first. You know, they're not letting their quarterbacks. They got the yellow jersey, the blue jersey, whatever the other color jersey from the team on there for a reason, so that the guys aren't taking shots at your quarterback. So I don't think that would set him back. I see the point being made, and Greg, to your point, you know, I think Sean's tried to get better about making a quicker decision when to tuck it under and run. Also, you know, when he sees a lane, when there's a third and three and he knows he can get 4 or 5 yards immediately and just move the chain. So there's he's evolving in his choices and how quickly he makes his choices. I think the Iowa game was really good for him. You know, we've talked about this a lot when we weren't recording, just how good the schedule was for this particular group of guys and how it set up, how the defense was able to carry them the first month, blah, blah, blah. And that first really tough road test, Clifford got a quarter. He got one quarter to get his feet under him at Iowa, and since then he has looked pretty comfortable on the in the road game. So I think he's getting better with his decisions and quickly getting the ball out and kind of figuring that out. And that's working with Ricky Ronnie too. You know what I mean? People blame quarterbacks sometimes about happy feet. But if there's not a clear message about, look, this defensive line, like against Michigan, you better get rid of that ball. They're coming at you, and get rid of it quickly, or go deep and trust your instincts to go deep. So I think they've done a better job of that working with Sean Clifford and giving him something to work with.
And I think my two cents on that would be, I think his feel for the position is tremendous, but I think developing a consistency to that feel can only be done with game reps and game experience. You know, James Franklin talks often about how hard he works in the film room. He has said that he's a film junkie, and all this feeds into itself. And I think from week one to now, we've seen a very different quarterback. And I don't think happy feet are necessarily in the rear view for good, but we've seen him develop over time and develop a better feel in the pocket. And, you know, to Greg's point, working through progressions, he's still very much a work in progress. And Penn State's 8-0, and he's got a 20-3 touchdown.
We'll see how he handles Chase Young coming around on the blind side.
Whole different ball game coming up.
Yep.
Early against that Michigan team bodes well for that. Our friend Dirt Frank, we'll get one more question, a quick answer from you guys, and then we'll pick a winner. Says, hello, Greg and everyone. It's been a while, but I'm always listening. Thank you, Dirt Frank. You will always be Dirt Frank. Love the podcast. Question is about Rutgers. We haven't talked about Rutgers enough. We're going to talk about them some more later. Remember when the Big East kicked out Temple for not having enough fans at games, et cetera? Is there any criteria for Big Ten teams to meet to stay in the conference? Can we drop them for someone relevant and not so embarrassing?
Nope.
Coming right at you, that fastball right down the middle.
Yeah. I understand the idea, but no. For Penn State and other schools that obviously would probably love to maybe see a better opponent in its backyard just simply because of the optics of it all. There's no way to get rid of them. They're not going to be relegated or anything like that. So it is what it is. The Big Ten made a splurge to try and get some extra TV eyeballs, and as we've talked about before, I hope they think it was worth it for the 8 people that signed up to BTN Plus to watch Rutgers in other sports. And certainly it's been disgusting the way they've sort of gone about things here since joining the Big Ten.
Stock down to the Big Ten, in other words. We could retroactively re-record the first segment, stock down to the Big Ten.
It's not exactly been the gateway to New York as they expected.
No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's the best business decision you can make? Not get a crappy team.
Right.
What's the best question this week?
Let's go with that Rutgers one. We don't talk enough about the Scarlet Knights, so that's this week's winner.
Dirt Frank, let this be incentive for you, my friend, to not disappear the next time. I know you're always listening. I appreciate that. But fire off more questions. You're going to have a whole closet full of KSN polos if you do. Download the Keystone Sports app. You can always ask your questions there. Thanks so much for your submissions. We got one more quarter to go here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Heard from Greg now. His best bet are coming up.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.